Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis. This is the Dr. Artis Show, and I'm excited to be joining and sharing some time with you today. I'm going to be doing a very special presentation. It's going to be a podcast covering what are the natural solutions to concerns surrounding tendon and ligament disorders, of which there's so many. So any joint disorder you can think of, osteoarthritis, gouty arthritis, if you have ACL tears in your knee, Achilles, tendonitis, if you have plantar fasciitis, all this applies to you. So everybody on earth has in common tendons and ligaments. We're going to define what tendons and ligaments are. I'm going to walk you through what are the most common scenarios of tendons and ligament injuries, concerns, and diseases. And then I'm going to walk you through what are two vitamins? What is one amino acid? What is one mineral that is proven in research studies to help people recover from sprain, strain, injuries of any kind, rotator cuff? It doesn't matter what it is. If you have a musculoskeletal injury or issue or concern, even post-operation wise, you're having difficulty recovering to this day. You need this presentation is for you. If you're an athlete, you better be watching this because none of you want to have an ACL tear, Achilles tendon rupture. You don't want a pectoral tendon rip. You don't want intercostal muscle rib injuries. You don't want any of that. You definitely don't want rotator cuff. You don't want golfer's elbow, tennis elbow. You don't want any of that. This is for you. It affects millions of people around the world every year. So please pay attention, share far and wide. And I'm going to be presenting a PowerPoint here. And remember, at the Dr. Artis Show, everything I present, go to the resources tab. You can download the entire PowerPoint for free and then go share it with anybody you know or love who have concerns or are athletes or like to run and walk or are worried about a fall in the future and breaking a hip and are scared to death that in their age, they might break a hip, end up in a hospital getting surgery where the number one cause of death is actually pneumonia from the surgery for a broken hip in the elderly. This has been going on for too many years. All right. So this is the natural solutions and antidotes to ligament and tendon diseases and concerns. So here comes the PowerPoint. Let's dive in. All right. Ligament and tendon disorders and your natural solutions. Scan the QR code if you would like to be notified of our future weekly podcast. We only do one a week, where we go through what the medical profession is aware of and educates everyone on a specific health topic, the most common drugs that are prescribed, treatments for those conditions, and then I walk all the audiences through every time what has mainstream medicine and research confirmed are the natural solutions to those conditions and problems that often are better and more effective than the conventional medical models and their recommendations. So scan the QR code if you'd like to learn more and be notified when our next podcast has gone out onto the internet of the world. All right, what's the difference between a ligament and tendon? You might as well know because most people don't know, and most people are not medical or health professionals anyway. So there is a big difference. So as I talk about ligaments and I talk about tendons, I always like to make sure you have a clear definition of what we're talking about. All right, so what's the difference between ligaments and tendons? This is per Healthline magazine online. Both of these, ligaments and tendons, are made of connective tissue and can be torn, overstretched, but they differ in function and are essential to proper body mechanics. Ligaments and tendons are both made up of this tissue called connective tissue. Ligaments appear as crisscross bands that attach bone to bone. Most importantly, ligaments attach bone to bone, and that's it. And they help stabilize your joints. For example, the anterior cruciate ligament, known as the ACL, attaches your thigh bone, known as the femur, to your shin bone called the tibia, stabilizing your knee joint. Tendons are totally different than ligaments. They're located at the end of a muscle, and they attach a muscle to a bone. I'm going to show you a picture of that here in just a second. Tendons are found throughout the body, from the head and neck all the way down to your feet. The Achilles tendon is a great example of the largest tendon in the human body. It attaches your calf muscle on the back of your lower leg to your heel bone of your foot. The rotator cuff tendons help the rotator cuff in your shoulder helps your shoulder rotate forward and backward. Now, on the screen, on the left of the screen, you'll see tendons bind muscle to bone. The red stuff is the biceps muscle. You have two bellies of what they call the biceps muscle. And where the arrows are pointing at those little white structures are the anchors of the muscle to bone. Those are called tendons. Tendons are what the yellow arrows are pointing at. So a muscle only attaches to bone where a tendon is attaching it. It's like an anchor, just so you know. All right, now, on the other side of the image are ligaments bind bone to bone. And this is just a hand representation. And notice all the ligaments that attach bone to bone. There is no muscle attached to a ligament. It's just connective tissue, cartilage attaching bone to bone, period. That's all it is. Ligaments, bone to bone. Tendons attach a muscle to a bone. All right, per the Cleveland Clinic, there are over 900 ligaments in your body. A sprain is a common injury that happens when you overstretch or tear a ligament. Most ligament injuries are accidents, but exercise can help keep your ligaments strong and less prone to injury. Where are your ligaments of these 900? These are just some examples. You have ligaments in your ankles. You have foot ligaments, knee ligaments, inguinal ligaments, median acute ligaments. You have round ligaments, which attach attach the uterus to the sacrum. Pretty impressive. Shoulder ligaments. You have uterosacral ligaments. You have wrist ligaments. Now, what about tendons? Tendons link your muscles to bones, remember? If you ever read the Bible, you'll hear the word sinew. That's an older term. They let your bones move as your muscles tighten and relax. So remember that picture of the biceps muscle. As that muscle shrinks or contracts, the lower arm bone will come up towards the upper bone. Overuse, injury, aging, and health conditions like arthritis can damage your tendons. You can lessen the chances of tendon problems with a balanced exercise routine and any of the four. I'm about to teach you nutrients, two vitamins in this presentation, one mineral and one amino acid. And if you're not consuming those, your tendons will become weaker, your ligaments will become harder and more rigid, and they will rupture. You will tear them. I guarantee it. Where are your tendons? What are the parts of a tendon is what they're going to dive into. I actually am not going to review this slide. I just want you to know that if you want to learn more about tendons and you are just fascinated about learning about this little anchor to every muscle in your body to a bone, these are all the parts of a tendon. The outer sheath, the inner fibers, you name it. Dive in, have fun. That's not what I'm most interested in. I want to dive into who this information applies to. So, those with injuries to ligaments, the most common of those per the Cleveland Clinic are ankle sprains. These are ligament conditions. Remember, ligaments attach bone to bone. Ankle sprains, back sprains, knee sprains. You can sprain your ACL, PCL, LCL, or MCL in your knee. Round ligament pain during pregnancy. Scaphololunate dissociation, which is in your wrist. These are ligaments in your wrist. Sprained finger or thumb, ulnar collateral ligament injury, which is in your elbow. This is Houston Methodist, torn ligaments and the types and symptoms of treatment options. In this article, they lay out some of the most common torn ligaments, bone to bone. Ligaments are bone to bone. All right, now what they show you on the screen is the most common are knee ligaments. In fact, they show five here, but there's only four ligaments there. But look at the middle bullet point. A combined ligament injury, meaning you ripped multiple of these. All right, the first is called the ACL. The ACL stands for anterior cruciate ligament. Anterior means on the front. Cruciate actually means crossing. The ACL, which a lot of people have heard about, actually crosses in front of the PCL, which is right behind it. And they make a cross in your knee. Anterior cruciates in the front. Posterior cruciates in the back. And they just cross right in front of each other and behind each other. Then you have the medial collateral ligament, which is on the inside of your knee. When you touch it on the inside of your knee, it attaches your femur to your tibia, your lower shin bone. Then you have the lateral collateral ligament, which is on the outside of your bone, and it attaches your femur, your upper leg bone, to your outside lower leg bone called the fibula. It also attaches to the tibia too, your long lower bone. All right, and then you got the posterior cruciate ligament, the one right behind the anterior cruciate ligament. Posterior means behind, anterior means in front of. Here's the knee. I just want to give you some context here. Oh, let's go back. There's a statement at the bottom. Ligament injuries can also happen in the elbows, shoulders, wrist, ankles, and thumbs. Just want you to know, it can happen anywhere. All right, but these are your knee ligaments. These are very common, so I want to make sure this is easy for you to see. That's the patella. Patella is the fancy term for your kneecap. So let's dive into the ligaments of the knee. There's your ACL. You can see it where that little black line is going. That is in front of the PCL, which is right behind it. They make a little X in your knee. That's the PCL. Then you have what's called the MCL, and that's that little white line going down the inside of the knee, attaching your femur to your tibia. Then when you see the LCL, lateral means on the outside of the knee, lateral collateral ligament. It attaches your femur, upper leg bone, to your fibula, that small leg bone on the outside of your leg. What conditions and disorders can affect tendons? Common disorders that affect your tendons include these on the list: strains, tendonitis, and those other fancy words like tenosynovitis at the end. Synovial fluid is what's inside of a joint, like inside your knee. So these are tendon synovial fluid inflammation disorders. All right, what are the most common tendon injuries? Remember, tendons attach muscle to bone. The four most common tendon injuries, according to drjamfeet.com, these are the quadriceps, your quad muscles on your thigh. They attach your kneecap to your shin bone. So that is a big tendon. The Achilles is located on the back portion of the foot, just above the heel. Then you have the rotator cuff in the shoulder, and it is composed of four muscle groups. And then you have the biceps, which are a group of arm muscles on your upper arm. Common causes of ruptured tendon include direct trauma, advanced age. As you age, your blood supply decreases, supposedly. Now, I will tell you, I'm going to show you stuff that will make your ligaments and your tendons stay healthier longer without the fear of tearing or ripping or spraining or straining them. Eccentric loading, meaning you are picking up too heavy a stuff that the tendon can't handle. It's not that strong. Picture a strap, a string, a rubber band. If you put too much strain on it, it will eventually tear. So will tendons and ligaments. Steroid injections into the tendon. This treatment sometimes is used for severe tendonitis, will actually cause the tendon to rupture. Now, up above, I just want to read some things to you. Follow along in that sentence at the top. A tendon rupture is most common in middle-aged older men. In young adults, muscles usually tear before the attached tendon does, but in older patients, especially those with diseases such as gout and hyperparathyroidism, tendon ruptures are more common. The hyperparathyroid, the parathyroid is sits right behind the thyroid. There's actually four nodes that people can touch, palpate, feel on top and below your thyroid. That one organ is what is responsible for controlling how much calcium gets deposited into tendons and ligaments to make them harder instead of being more elastic, which is healthier. The risk of tearing, rupturing, spraining ligaments and tendons, connective tissue increases as calcium increases. Hyperparathyroidism causes the body to lay down more calcium. There's a reason why I never recommend calcium supplements to anybody. We all have too much. All right, now, things to eat to keep your ligaments and tendons healthy. This is San Diego Orthobiologics, the role of nutrition in healing tendon and ligament injuries. So pay attention, because this same information would prevent you from getting these injuries. It's not just after the fact. Why wait? Why don't you just do this stuff? Keep your ligaments and tendons healthy. Number one, they talk about protein and amino acids. Protein is the foundation of tissue repair. And for everybody out there watching and listening, proteins are just made up of a bunch of amino acids. Best sources by this recommendation of this company: lean meats, poultry, fish, eggs, Greek yogurt, bone broth is rich in collagen, and I support that recommendation 1,000,000%. And plant-based sources like quinoa, lentils, and soy. Vitamin C is a cofactor for collagen production. Collagen is what connective tissue is. So your ligaments and tendons, vitamin C is required to make collagen and helps stabilize the collagen triple helix structure. What are the best sources here recommended by this website? Citrus fruit, strawberries, bell peppers, kiwi, and broccoli. And if you'd like to know if the foods you enjoy have high amounts of vitamin C, go to the internet, any search engine, type in highest vitamin C content in foods list and hit images. Actually, you'll see a whole bunch of graphics that will tell you which fruits, vegetables have the most vitamin C. Start eating them every day. Your ligaments and tendons will thank you. Zinc plays a critical role in tissue regeneration, immune response, and the development of collagen, which is what your ligaments and tendons are made of. What are the highest sources of those? Pumpkin seeds, oysters, beef, chickpeas, and cashews. Omega-3 fatty acids. These healthy fats help modulate the inflammatory response, reducing excessive inflammation that can hinder healing. Best sources are salmon and other fatty fish, chia seeds, walnuts, flax seeds, fish oil supplements. What about vitamin A? This is a fat-soluble vitamin, one of my favorites on the planet. Helps with collagen formation and immune function. It's also involved in cellular growth and differentiation, and it's vital for tissue regeneration. So if you have ripped a ligament or a tendon, to regenerate that tissue, vitamin A, carrots, sweet potatoes, spinach, kale, and liver are all high amounts of vitamin A. And copper and manganese are trace minerals. Trace means very small amounts. Are important cofactors in the enzyme's ability to cross-link collagen, which strengthens collagen tissue, like your ligaments and tendons. What are some best sources of copper and manganese? Dr. Artis's Bioactive Copper and nuts and seeds, shellfish, whole grains, and leafy greens. What Dr. Artis recommends for tendon and ligament health? Vitamin D and the immunomodulation of rotator cuff injury. We're going to dive into the Journal of Inflammatory Responses. All right, this is a medical journal. I told you earlier in this interview recording that we are going to be talking about two essential vitamins, one essential mineral, and one very essential amino acid that everybody needs that is proven in medical research studies to strengthen and help heal ligaments and tendons faster, even post-operatively after an operation. So let's dive into this one. Vitamin D and the immunomodulation of rotator cuff injury. And I'm going to go ahead and prepare you. There is so much information about how to strengthen ligaments and tendons using vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and foods. Thousands of research studies. And you're going to see references in some of these today that they did these research studies on rabbits. Now, just so you know, they will take rabbits, rats, mice, and they will like rip the Achilles tendon. Then they'll surgically repair it. Then they'll inject vitamin D, put in vitamin D, put in other minerals, vitamins, and they want to see what helps it heal faster compared to just normal. They don't do these studies to humans. How many humans do you know want to volunteer to have their Achilles tendon ripped open? How about let's rip their knee ligaments like the PCL and ACL? Nobody's going to elect to do that. So they do research studies on animals. Why? Because all animals that are mammals have the same genes you do, and the same things that make up their ligaments and tendons are the same as yours. So they study the effects of those nutrients on them. So let's dive into vitamin D. Vitamin D and muscle healing. So remember, there's a muscle, and then its anchor to the bone is called a tendon. This is about muscles first. So if you've strained a muscle, you might want to know this info. Sufficient or increased levels of vitamin D in patients correlate with an increase in the size of muscle, number of muscle cells, and the strength of type 2 muscle fibers. Did you know that? The volume of the amount of muscle somebody has is dictated on the amount of vitamin D in their body. In older patients, pay attention to everybody who's older than 50. In older patients, falls are common. Type 2 muscle fibers are the first fibers that are recruited and stimulated in the event of a fall. So slow down there. You have type 2 muscle fibers, and if you're walking with your walker, walking through your house, and you start to feel yourself fall or lose your balance, the first things to engage to keep you upright and attempt to prevent the fall are type 2 muscle fibers. They're telling you here, So strengthening these fibers would be beneficial in preventing falls in the elderly and those who are prone to falling. In fall-prone post-stroke patients, they found a 60% reduction in falls were reported in patients who received a vitamin D supplement. 60% reduction. Imagine that. Stroke is a massive impact, has a massive impact on falls and balance. Because of vitamin D's anti-inflammatory nature, sometimes it's used as an additional therapy for patients with arthritis, psoriasis, and some types of cancers. Vitamin D and tendon repair. This is the same section of that same research study. The effects of vitamin D on the healing process is to strengthen the post-procedural, after operation, tendon to bone scar. So where they reattach a tendon that has ripped from the bone, like in the example of an Achilles tendon rupture, the Achilles rips the tendon off the heel of your foot. They screw back on the heel, or they graft the tendon back to the heel. They call that interface where they reconnect the tendon to bone, bone scar, tendon to bone scar. So thus it increases vitamin D, the effectiveness of the healing. Investigators have found that vitamin D positively influences the rotator cuff tendons, if you've ever torn a rotator cuff and had surgery, through what are called MMPs. And I do not expect you to know what MMPs are, because the next sentence is going to define for you what an MMP is. MMPs are enzymes that contain zinc in their active site and are essential in extracellular matrix breakdown and repair, specifically collagen degradation. So vitamin D influences MMPs, enzymes that help with collagen breakdown and repair. MMPs, these enzymes that have zinc in it, in tendon to bone healing was shown to improve healing by increasing fibrocartilage and collagen organization, as well as improving the scar strength in rats, scars that attach the tendon to the bone. Rotator cuff repair surgery is a common procedure in all humans, to restore function and relieve pain in patients with symptomatic or painful rotator cuff tears. However, pay attention, everybody. All of you listen to me. Read along. That procedure, rotator cuff surgery, is accompanied by a very high failure rate. Some research studies and surgical centers report that those that receive rotator cuff surgery, 20% of them it will fail. It's up to 94% of those will fail. Is that crazy? Well, I didn't know that till putting together this presentation. Where the tendon to bone healing is supposed to happen, that will rupture in 20% to up to 94% of all of them. Now look at the next statements. Because this rotator cuff surgery fails so often, investigations into the effect of vitamin D on tendon repair thus far has shown promise for vitamin D to increase both the quality and the speed of post-operation healing. Indeed, biological changes with vitamin D has been shown in animal models to improve cartilage organization and strengthen post-surgical tendon to bone scars when compared to vitamin D deficient subjects. If you or a loved one has issues with tendons not healing after surgery, rotator cuff, Achilles tendon, biceps tendon tear, pectoral tear, it doesn't matter what it is, quadriceps tear in your leg and in your knee, you should be supplementing vitamin D, is your lesson here. Disease studies have demonstrated an increase in MMP9 in the tendon to bone healing site of the rotator cuff muscles in vitamin D deficient rats. Nosov, an author, researcher, found a positive correlation between vitamin D levels and the strength of tendon-to-bone healing. With the advancements in the scientific inquiry, those looking into vitamin D and these tendon injuries, and the findings on the effects of vitamin D on the bone component in tendon-to-bone healing, a critical role of vitamin D in tendon healing cannot be ruled out. In conclusion, in investigating vitamin D and tendon repair surgeries, given the nature and prevalence of rotator cuff injury requiring surgery, the potential for better management post-operation with vitamin D supplementation is encouraging. Studies have investigated the effect of vitamin D on tendon to bone healing following rotator cuff repair. Thus far, much of the understanding on the role of vitamin D in the healing process comes from the effects of vitamin D on bone healing and repair, with little attention into the effects of the tendon in tendon to bone healing. So most of the research they're telling you with vitamin D and injuries to tendons and muscles, it's typically looking at the muscle and its repair process with vitamin D. And they're telling you this research study was important. We want to look at what has been done in research studies to confirm that vitamin D can enhance the tendon's reattachment to bone. So if you have tendon injuries, you have post operations for rotator cuff surgeries or Achilles tendon or others, you should be on vitamin D supplementation. If you want to prevent those injuries to strengthen the interface of the tendons to the bone in your body, you should be on vitamin D supplementation. In the research journal titled Arthritis Research and Therapy, vitamin D stops inflammation, vitamin D stops fatty infiltration and cartilage loss in the knee of hyperlipidemic microswine, swine being pigs. So I mentioned earlier, they're going to talk about turkey legs, rabbits, pigs, the mice you're going to see in this presentation. Remember, they're not going to create these injuries and traumas in humans just to research whether or not vitamin D helps or not. No, they do these on animals. Osteoarthritis of the knee joint is a degenerative process resulting in cartilage loss. Osteoarthritis has been associated with vitamin D deficiency. Vitamin D as an immunomodulator and anti-inflammatory agent may attenuate or turn off inflammation in the knee. The aim of this study was to assess the anti-inflammatory effect of vitamin D on inflammation in the knee. This study was conducted with 13 microswine, baby pigs probably, and that are on a high cholesterol diet, categorized into three different groups of vitamin D deficient little pigs, so low vitamin D sufficient, so they have normal levels of vitamin D in their body, and vitamin D supplemented pigs. These three groups is what they're evaluating. Disease processes and immunofluorescent studies of the knee joint tissue showed 1, an increased inflammation in the knee joint tissues. 2, they found fatty infiltration in the quadriceps muscles, the quads of their upper legs of the pigs, the patellar tendon and collateral ligaments, and chondrocyte clustering in the vitamin D deficient and vitamin D sufficient groups. I'm going to stop there. Pay attention. They had 3 groups of pigs, those who had low levels of vitamin D, those with normal levels of vitamin D, and those with vitamin D supplementing. They found there was an increase in inflammation in the knee joints and tissues of those knee joints, fat accumulating in the quad muscle, the patellar tendon, the kneecap tendon, and collateral ligaments of the knees. And they found chondrocyte clustering in the vitamin D deficient, low vitamin D level, and sufficient vitamin D groups, compared with the vitamin D supplemented group that didn't have that stuff. So the vitamin D supplemented group had lower inflammation, lower fat being deposited in tissues around the actual knee joints, and lower chondrocyte clustering, which actually add calcium deposits and arthritis to the knees. Conclusions: vitamin D supplementation, taking vitamin D every day, is associated with turning off inflammation, reducing fat accumulation, reducing arthritic changes, and preserving tissue architecture of the knees. The results of this study demonstrate the potential beneficial effect of vitamin D in decreasing inflammation and fat in the knee joints, which may decrease pain and disability. Ask your doctor if vitamin D is right for you. The second vitamin we're going to dive into, I mentioned earlier, there's 2 vitamins I'm going to educate everybody on. Vitamin K2 is the next thing. Vitamin K2 based support of bones and joints. This is an article found in VitaFoodsInsights.com. K2 and joint health, vitamin K2. Low vitamin K status has been associated with joint problems. In recent years, researchers tried to address the therapeutic benefits of MK7, a form of vitamin K, in managing symptoms in patients with rheumatoid arthritis, as minoquinones, MKs, of vitamin K. And they have been reported to induce apoptosis of rheumatoid arthritis synovial cells, reducing these autoimmune cells leading to pain. A study in 2015 was designed to clarify the therapeutic role of vitamin K2 as the form MK7, added to the standard therapeutic regimen of rheumatoid arthritis humans with different stages of the disease with a clinical follow-up through a randomized clinical trial. Vitamin K capsules were administered at a dose of 100 micrograms per day for 3 months in the first group without changing any other medications. In the vitamin K group, a significant decrease in the levels of undercarboxylated osteocalcin, those cells that destroy bone and lead to more disease and arthritis. And they saw a decrease in the disease activity score, assessing 28 joints with these various measurements. They also found a reduction in C-reactive protein. This is an inflammatory marker, particularly when they look at when someone's had a heart attack or they believe they have. If there's heart damage, you'll see C-reactive protein go up in the blood. And then they saw a reduction in the matrix MMP was found. All positive things. A similar 2013 study gave comparable results. They found that the vitamin K2 treated group showed lower blood levels of CRP, C-reactive protein, lower MMP3. And in the longitudinal study, patients who were additionally treated with vitamin K2 without changing the medications for 3 months demonstrated significant decreases in their blood levels of CRP. And for this reason, vitamin K may be used to improve disease activity besides osteoporosis in rheumatoid arthritis patients. So vitamin K2 might not just be good for bone density in rheumatoid arthritis patients for osteoporosis reasons. They're telling you here that vitamin K2 is found to improve the strength of ligaments and tendons, which is also supportive, and it reduces inflammation of those joint capsules and those connective tissues called ligaments and tendons. Their conclusion: evidence is linked to one's K2 status, how much vitamin K2 is in your body, to the state of bone health and joint health in a burgeoning new area that researchers continue to explore. They're very excited about this. Now let's dive into Scientific Reports 2025 study. This is January of this year. There's a possible involvement of vitamin K insufficiency, low levels of vitamin K, in the progression of cervical ossification, neck cartilage turning into bone, of the posterior longitudinal ligament. So when you look at the spine, you remember the skeleton you've seen. This is October of 2025. There's skeletons everywhere. The neck bones, there's seven of them called cervical bones. On the back of the bone and in front of your spinal cord are posterior ligaments that hold all those bones in your spine together. Posterior means behind. Ossification, turning that ligament into bone. Ligaments do turn into bone, by the way. That's why they rip, crack, break, you name it. Ossification, turning ligaments or tendons into bone. Ossification of the posterior longitudinal ligament of the vertebral column, OPLL, is a disease characterized by bone formation in the spinal ligament that causes progressive neurological impairment. However, there are no suitable treatments for this, which is why they're doing this study on vitamin K. We next characterize the effects of vitamin K supplementation on spinal hyperostosis, the calcification of the ligaments of the spine, in mice that they created to have a model of cervical OPLL, calcification of the ligament called the posterior longitudinal ligament. By feeding them standard chow, vitamin K deficient chow, or standard chow being food, accompanied by biweekly, every other week, vitamin K2 injections for 6 weeks, we found that vitamin K supplementation resulted in longer stride lengths, meaning the ligaments could be more limber and elastic, and superior interlimb coordination using footprint analysis. We have shown that vitamin K insufficiency may be involved in the development of spinal calcification disease called OPLL, because patients with OPLL are characterized by low levels of vitamin K-dependent coagulation factors. Therefore, they decided to next determine the effects of vitamin K on the spinal calcification of these mice using this model. The gait impairment of these mice was significantly less marked in the vitamin K supplemented group compared with the other groups. Consistent with this, the vitamin K supplemented group had significantly smaller volumes of ectopic calcification. Because they had higher levels of vitamin K, there was less calcifying of the ligaments in their spine. GRP is abundantly expressed in these cells and then the calcification of these ligaments, and they found that to be reduced. But in excess, they found it reduced in the vitamin K group, but they saw the mice fed a vitamin K depleted diet had the fewest of these cells to prevent calcification of the ligament. Results indicate, we're going to go down to the body. These results indicate that vitamin K supplementation may represent a novel therapeutic strategy for patients with calcifying spines. Anyone out there with arthritis of the spine, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis of the spine, you should be on vitamin D and vitamin K2, period. In fact, they actually cut the spine open on these mice after the experiment with vitamin K was done. You see the area with the little green box that is showing you where this posterior ligament is calcifying. So you'll see at the top, the control group, they got nothing. You'll just see that's what it looks like normal. The vitamin K supplemented group, you see that. Then you see the vitamin K deficient group. At the bottom, I'm going to show you something real quick here. Before we go to the bottom, I want you to notice the vitamin K supplemented group, that white line is what you're looking at in the green box. In the vitamin K supplemented group, look how much smaller and defined that ligament is. Look how much bigger it is in the one on the right. As that ligament continues to absorb calcium and grow, called OPLL, it presses on your spinal cord, and this is why they get neurological symptoms. Human beings do. Seizures, collapsing, falling, you name it. At the bottom, I just want to highlight one statement here. Just look at the vitamin K supplemented arrow. Look how much smaller and defined that ligament is. The mice that consumed a vitamin K depleted diet had larger nuduses of calcifications and fewer GRP cells. The average number of GRP plus cells around the nuduses was significantly decreased in the vitamin K deficient group compared with those in the other groups that received vitamin K or didn't. In conclusion, we have demonstrated that patients with calcified ligaments in their spine frequently have low levels of vitamin K, implying that vitamin K lower levels is common in these patients. Vitamin K supplementation significantly reduces ectopic calcification of the cervical ligaments and ameliorates the locomotor abnormality of mice with cervical OPLL. Everybody listen to me. The mice have spine. The rats have spine. You have a spine. Your spine is connected to your arms and limbs. All of you out there, if you're not on vitamin D and vitamin K2, if you have deficiency in your gait, psychomotor skills, can't walk, don't have as long as a stride as you used to. Look at a Parkinson's patient's small gait. If your gait isn't as great as it used to be, as long as it used to be, you are vitamin K deficient. You're most likely vitamin D deficient too. So vitamin D3, K2, you should all be on. Now let's dive into the effect of taurine. Taurine is that one amino acid I was talking about earlier in this presentation that everybody needs to know about. Effect of taurine on rat Achilles tendon healing. They actually ripped the Achilles tendon off these rats and then surgically corrected it and then added taurine. Taurine has an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant characteristic. We've introduced taurine into a tendon healing model, which means they ripped the tendon of the Achilles tendon of a rat, surgically repaired it, and they're watching it heal. They want to see what taurine does to the healing. And they want to see and evaluate its effects on tendon healing and adhesion of the tendon to the bone. Two groups of 16 rats underwent diversion, cutting, and repair of the Achilles tendon. So they snipped it, cut it. One group received a taurine injection of 200 milligrams per milliliter at the repair site, while the other group received 1 milliliter of salt water called saline. Specimens were harvested, killed at 6 weeks, and underwent biomechanical and disease progression evaluation. No tendons ruptured. That's good. Average maximum load was significantly greater in the taurine applied group compared with the control group. This is important. The average maximum load, they literally took the ligaments that were repaired and they wanted to know, does this tendon the Achilles tendon, does that tendon, when we go to pull on it that has repaired itself, when we pull it apart, what's the maximum load before it tears or rips again? The average maximum load, the amount of pounds of pressure to make that tendon rip, was significantly greater in the taurine applied group compared to the control group. So where they just cut it and let it repair, those they added taurine to and injected taurine, that thing healed so much greater that it took a lot more strain to actually rip it the next time. So anybody who's ever had a tendon injury or a ligament injury, you should be supplementing taurine. It will make you heal faster, and that tendon and ligament will be stronger longer. Similarly, average energy uptake was significantly higher in the taurine-applied group. We found that fibroblast proliferation, edema, and inflammation statistically decreased in the taurine treatment group. These findings could indicate greater tendon strength with less adhesion formation, and taurine may have an effect on adhesion formation by reducing how much additional scar tissue is made. This is an article titled Inhibitory Effect of Taurine on Rotator Cuff Degeneration via the Mitochondrial Protection. Mitochondria are the cells in every cell of your human body that generate energy, vitality, and healing. All right, so let's read what they found. We'll start on the left here. The research focused on the preventative effects of taurine and vitamin agents against oxidative stress. They're going to compare one amino acid called taurine to two vitamins, and they want to know which one outperforms the other. They're going to evaluate these taurine and vitamin agents against oxidative stress, which is considered a major cause of rotator cuff degeneration. They're going to study taurine, vitamin E called tocopherol, and ascorbic acid vitamin C. Have all demonstrated inhibition, reduction of oxidative stress. Another factor thought to promote age-related rotator cuff degeneration has been reported to induce cell death via increases in reduced oxidative species, redox oxidative species, production in mitochondria-mediated caspase 3 activity. You don't even know what that is, but the mitochondria are little batteries of fuel in your cells. The inhibition of AGE accumulation allowed us to indirectly confirm the inhibition of degeneration itself when comparing vitamin C, vitamin E, and taurine, the amino acid. The results do it's really quite funny. On this slide, I can't really see what those words are, even though we put it in here. All right. I'm going to go back out here because I want to read this. So hold up. No, we'll just keep going. Nope, I've got to read it. Sorry. All right, this result suggests the possibility that the rotator cuff degeneration might be clinically preventable. I love that word, preventable. Taurine, the amino acid, when compared to vitamin E and vitamin C, taurine inhibited both oxidative stress and degeneration of the rotator cuff tendons and also suppressed activation of the inflammation and degradation enzyme called caspase 9 and cleaved caspase 3. So taurine was considered the most effective of the three supplements for prevention. In this research, a preventative effect against rotator cuff degeneration was found in each of the three groups, with taurine in particular demonstrating a potent inhibitory effect against oxidative stress, degeneration, and cell death of your tendons. You're welcome. Taurine is the winner. All right, so I'm going to show you right here. This is taurine. You see here they had the control group. Then they want to see what hydrogen peroxide, taurine, vitamin E, and vitamin C did. You will notice the amount of oxidative stress reduction by taurine. This is what they're showing you here. The results showed that taurine inhibited this early after hydrogen peroxide treatment. This suggested that taurine, which exerts a mitochondrial protective effect, can prevent mitochondrial damage at an early stage. Taurine may therefore prevent degeneration to the rotator cuff by inhibiting oxidative stress and mitochondrial-mediated cell death. So to protect your ligaments and your tendons, you might want to be considering supplementing with taurine. We thus conclude that taurine shows the most promise for preventing rotator cuff degeneration and rupture. Conclusions. Taurine showed preventative effects against rotator cuff degeneration. The simple method of administration and paucity of side effects make clinical application easy, and the clear potential as a novel prophylactic, taking it before preventative, strategy against degenerative rotator cuff tear warrants further study, they say. Now we're going to dive into the mineral. So we've got two vitamins, vitamin D and vitamin K2. And now we're going to, then we dived into the amino acid taurine. Now I'm going to dive into magnesium, this one amazing mineral. This comes from the American Journal of Sports Medicine in 2008. I find this study awesome. Okay. I find all studies awesome. Okay. Augmentation changes of tendon to bone healing with a magnesium-based bone adhesive. Now, they're going to reattach a tendon to a bone surgically, and they're going to insert there this adhesive glue that contains magnesium in it. Now, you don't need magnesium glue adhesive during these surgeries. If you just had enough magnesium in your bloodstream, it would speed up this healing process like you're about to read and find out. This is the background of this study. Healing of the ACL ligament in your knee, graft into a bone tunnel, occurs by formation of fibrous scar tissue, which is weaker than the normal fibrocartilaginous insertion. So when the knee used to be normal, as you were built by God, the fibrous cartilage inserts into the bone. When they go to do surgery and they tunnel into the bone and insert and screw in the tendon that ruptured, which I've had done in my knee, that's an ACL surgery, they're telling you it's weaker surgically than it used to be, as God made it. This group says, we hypothesize that a magnesium-based bone glue would improve tendon-to-bone healing in a rabbit ACL ligament reconstructive model. So they're going to rip the ACL in a rabbit's knee, and then they're going to tunnel it. Then they're going to add magnesium-rich glue to the tendon insertion. All specimens had adequate tunnel fill. They drilled a hole to make a tunnel. Then they inserted in there and put that magnesium glue in there with the bone adhesive at time zero. Application of the bone adhesive resulted in more cartilage formation and less fibrous tissue formation at the tendon-bone interface at week six, compared with those who didn't get the magnesium-rich glue. There was significantly more bone formation in the tibia, your shin bone, of the treated limbs with magnesium glue at 6 weeks. The load to failure was significantly higher in the magnesium glue group at 6 weeks. The load to failure, once again, they took that same knee in the rabbit they surgically repaired normally and with magnesium glue, and they want to know at what point does it break again? And the load, the amount of force it took to rip that ACL ligament again, was significantly more. The pressure to rip it again was higher in the group with magnesium glue. Isn't that amazing? Conclusion, the magnesium-based bone adhesive improves tendon-to-bone healing based on histological and biomechanical testing at 6 weeks in a rabbit model of the ACL ligament. And if that's going to happen to a rabbit, it's going to happen to you. Make sure you are supplementing magnesium every day. Now, I'm going to dive a little bit further into not just taurine. I mentioned one amino acid. I'm just going to show you why amino acids are so important. I haven't generally done a lot of podcasts on amino acid or presentations, but I am about to show you. What are amino acids like taurine that I mentioned earlier? Amino acids are organic compounds composed of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. There are 20 of them overall, but they can be categorized into two primary groups, essential and non-essential, and I want to define those for you. Essential amino acids, these cannot be made in the body. They must be obtained through your diet. They're essential. You have to go get them and put them in. There are 9 essential amino acids, which include histidine, isoleucine, leucine, lysine, methionine, phenylalanine, threonine, tryptophan, and valine. For those of you, you've probably heard of tryptophan as being responsible for making you tired after you eat all that turkey coming up next month in November for Thanksgiving. When you eat a heavy turkey meal, it's got a lot of tryptophan. Lots of people get very sleepy and tired. They blame it on that amino acid. It is essential. You have to get it from your diet. Non-essential amino acids, these can be made by the body and are not required to be obtained from your diet. Examples include alanine, aspartic acid, and glutamic acid. What are its importance now in the relationship to ligaments and tendons? Amino acids are critical to make proteins. So protein synthesis. You can't even make proteins without amino acids. Amino acids are combined to form proteins. I mentioned that earlier before we even started this presentation, which are crucial for building and repairing tissues, creating enzymes, and supporting immune function. You need proteins to make collagen for your connective tissue, which is tendon and ligaments. Amino acids are also important for muscle growth and repair. Amino acids, particularly branched chain amino acids, which are three, leucine, isoleucine, and valine, play a fundamental role in muscle protein synthesis and recovery after exercise. I will be launching, and so proud to announce, I announced it at the Healing for the Ages conference, but this is the first time our audiences are seeing it here. I will be launching soon Hydrate Complete. This will actually contain 17 amino acids that everyone loses in every single drop of sweat, and you need those amino acids put back into the body. 17 of 20 you require to have at adequate levels in your body to have the healthiest ligaments, tendons, and muscles, period, and recovery from all of your efforts. This has been an ongoing project for me for 7 years, and it's almost here. Cannot wait. All right, so this is our vitamin D3 and K2. All of you out there that just watched this presentation, you know now the value of vitamin D3 and K2 in anyone with tendon and ligament disorders and post-operations. Nature Wins, we have our taurine supplement, 500 milligrams there per capsule. Everyone should be on this if you want healthy ligaments and tendons. And then we discussed magnesium, the one mineral I wanted to make sure you knew about. And this is magnesium. And this is our magnesium complex, and we have three forms of magnesium in it: magnesium citrate, magnesium aspartate, and magnesium malate. You can get that at the Dr. Artist Show. Scan the QR code to learn more. Look forward to the Hydrate product coming out. It'll be out very, very soon. I'm very, very excited about it, and I look forward to transforming lives and health of individuals all around the world with it. Don't forget our book, Moving Beyond COVID-19 Lies. If you don't have it and you haven't read it, you're not ready for the next pandemic because they are coming. You're definitely not even ready for the next flu season. Everything you need to know about how to protect yourself against a virus is inside of this book. All right, that's the end of our tendons and ligaments presentation. I am Dr. Brian Artis. This is the Dr. Artis Show. Remember, you can get this presentation, download it for free, the entire PowerPoint presentation at the resources tab at the Dr. Artis Show. I am Dr. Brian Artis. We will see you next time, next week on the Dr. Artis Show. God bless you, and thank you for spending time with us today. I love you for it.